WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another fantastic Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. So excited you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Tuesday afternoon. We have a hot show for you. In just a moment, we'll be talking with Jessica Beach Bogracus, who will, on Thursday, be a member of the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame, one of the greatest softball players this area has ever seen. Jessica will join me on the show in just a moment. We'll also talk a little Ndamukong Suh, as the Lions have decided to table his future, if you will. You'll hear about that in just a sec. And also, Big Ten Media Days are going on out in the Shy in Chicago. You don't want to miss our discussion on that. And it's Tuesday, so that means Top 5 Tuesday, folks. We list the top 5 woulda, coulda, shouldas of sports. You don't want to miss that, folks, but that's custom here on the show. Here's Alex Shard with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Time for another wild day in sports. I'm Alex Shard, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Tuesday, July 29th. The jury at the trial of a man charged with shooting and killing a college football player from Chicago has found him not guilty. Demarius Reed, at 20 years old, attended Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti. Prosecutors charged Ed Thomas with the murder, but the jury found Thomas not guilty of all charges. Another suspect in the case, Christopher Pratt, pleaded guilty to second-degree murder for his part in the crime. And in the last few minutes before the Detroit Lions opened training camp on Monday, the team eliminated the biggest question it has had all offseason. The Lions announced they will table any contract discussions with Ndamukong Suh until after the 2014 season, the final year of his initial five-year rookie contract. That goal for Detroit is to sign Suh for a long-term contract after next season, who will have a cap number of $22.4 million this season. GM Martin Mayhew said the team has not had conversations about trading Suh, but it would be possible that the team would use the franchise tag on Suh if the sides can't finalize a deal. The Detroit Tigers tonight get back in action at home, opening up a three-game series against the Chicago White Sox. The Tigers are coming off a 3-1 series road loss to the LA Angels. Jose Quintana will take the mound against Anibal Sanchez, a 7:08 p.m. first pitch. The Detroit Red Wings agreed to terms with left wing Thomas Tatar on a new three-year contract the team announced Monday. The average annual value is to be $2.75 million. Tatar, at age 23, completed his first full NHL season in 2013-14 and ranked 6th on the Red Wings with 39 points in 73 games. He also represented Slovakia at the 2014 Olympics and had one goal and one assist in 4 games. Derek Jeter notched the 3,420th career hit last night to pass Carl Yastrzemski on the all-time hits list. His hit versus the Texas Rangers put him 7th all-time, which puts him 10 behind Honus Wagner for the 6th spot. In NBA news, a judge gave the okay for Shelly Sterling, wife of NBA owner Donald Sterling, to sell the Los Angeles Clippers to Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer for $2 billion. Donald Sterling was removed as owner by Commissioner Adam Silver for his racist remarks against blacks. He tried to block the sale of the Clippers from Shelly, but failed to do so. In other NBA news, Washington civil litigator Michelle Roberts was elected by the NBA to become the next executive director of the Players Association. Roberts was recommended by Chris Paul and the 9-member executive committee and was voted on by committee members and team player representatives with 32 of 34 votes. She becomes the first woman ever to head the National Basketball Players Association. And finally, the NCAA has settled a class action head injury lawsuit. The court ruled that $70 million will be set aside to create a fund to judge if current and former NCAA athletes in contact sports suffered brain trauma while playing. Athletes can individually sue for damages based on the test instead of setting aside money for players who suffered trauma. And those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Tuesday, July 29th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. Lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. They will be this entire hour. If you want to call in and talk about anything that's on your sports noggin, you can call in and you know that number. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Have to remind you all that tomorrow, that's right, each and every Wednesday here at the WKAR TV studios, we tape Current Sports TV. And this Wednesday at 10 a.m., yes, we switched our time from 6 p.m. to 10 a.m., bright and early in the morning, we'll be taping our newest episode of Current Sports, as I will be talking with Lansing State Journal prep sports writer and also covers soccer here in the area, Scott Yoshanis. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. Should be a fantastic episode as Scott and I dive into high school sports and really discuss his outstanding coverage of this whole Fulton High School firing of their now former football coach John Winkler. We'll talk about high school sports and the dynamic of coaches and players on that level of sporting, and it's going to be a really interesting discussion with Scott because he has an interesting take on it. He released a commentary earlier last week on the whole situation going on with Fulton and its relation to the high school and just high school athletics in general. You can check out that, I'm sure, just by typing in Scott Yoshanis, Fulton firing of John Winkler, and you can read his commentary on that. He had some strong thoughts, which he shared on the radio show, and we're going to dive into it a little deeper on the TV show tomorrow morning. Again, if you missed the live taping, you can catch Current Sports TV on your televisions each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. You'll not only get to see my interview with Scott, but you'll also get to see highlights from Mateen Cleaves's football basketball camp that we've been promoting week in and week out here on the show, the One Goal, One Passion basketball camp that is actually taking place right now. I will be heading over there right after the show around 2:30 or so to chat with Mateen about the camp and to get some pretty cool shots of the kids who are participating in the event. And like our caller yesterday, Chris, who had called in during our, when we had Mateen on the show, we enacted a promo for those who called in. Those who did, like the first five or six people who called in, got a chance to sign up their little one for free at the One Goal, One Passion camp. So I'm certain they are enjoying that right now at Aim High Sports Arena. So you get to see that and so much more on this week's Current Sports. Current Sports TV, again, folks, it will air on Thursday night at 10 p.m. You can be a part of the audience signing up online or for free at WKAR.org. Well, we have a fantastic show here on AM 870 for you, Current Sports AM 870, as we will be diving into a few areas of immense interest. When you talk about the Lions, they have decided to table, as you just heard from Alex in our Quick Hit Headliners, they have decided to table their contract negotiations with the future of Ndamukong Suh. They've decided to table them until after this season. Interesting stuff. When we talk about a discussion like this, you talk about an impact player such as Ndamukong Suh, who has really been an imminent face for the Lions franchise since he's joined the organization. And now his future is sort of in a way up in the air, seeing as though he hasn't been signed yet. I am one of the ones who believe that Ndamukong Suh will be signed when this thing is all said and done. But I tell you what, tabling this discussion now eliminates a distraction that this team does not need. They need all eyes on go right now as the Jim Caldwell era now starts, and this team tries to make a serious run in the playoffs. So they need to limit as much distractions as possible. And this was a very, very clever way to sort of end the Ndamukong Suh contract negotiation talks by tabling it and discussing it on the brink of next year. So interesting stuff there. And also Big Ten Media Days. I tell you what, you can't, go to MLive.com or LSJ or the Free Press or any local media platform paper without reading about Big Ten Media Days. It's a huge, huge event each and every year. It has grown each and every year. Of course, as the game of college football has really is one of the most popular sports in our nation. And, it's a lot of talk about the Big Ten this upcoming year. Can Michigan State repeat its success of last year? Can Michigan get out of the funk that it's in? And also with the new additions of Maryland and Rutgers to the conference, it's so much going on in Chicago right now. And I don't know if you guys have been following it in the paper, but I tell you what, Curtis Drummond. I don't know if you saw this, Alex, but Curtis Drummond was looking pretty fly. I don't know if you saw, but ESPN named him best dressed for Big Ten Media Days yesterday. He came in. He had on a pinstripe suit. He had wingtip shoes, black and white wingtip shoes. He had a really nice tie on. It was a double-breasted suit. Oh, he was looking silky sharp, man. It was pinstripe. Oh, it was really, really nice. It was a funny moment where Shalik Calhoun, who is an outstanding defensive lineman for the MSU football team, who is now entering his senior season, he decided to grab the mic and interview Curtis on why he decided to choose the suit. But man, oh man, was he looking. He was looking, as my grandfather would say, Sunday sharp, folks. So we'll talk about Big Ten Media Days and the chip on the shoulder of MSU, and also some updates concerning the quarterback position with Damian Terry, Demetrius Cox, and also the linebacker positions are not solidified just yet. So it's going to be really, really interesting as we dive into that as well. Again, our phone lines will be open, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And each and every Tuesday here on the show, we deliver Top 5 Tuesday for you. Yes, it's our Top 5 segment where we dive into a realm of sports and list the top top 5 sports topic. And today is an exciting one because we're going to deal with the Top 5 Woulda, Coulda, Shouldas in the world of sports. And what we mean by the top five woulda, coulda, shouldas are the athletes in sports who were supposed to be the next great ones, the next big things, and who fell significantly short of that milestone. So I have an interesting list. I'm excited to hear what Alex has on his list. We never swap lists before the show because we like to surprise one another and see, you know, just the interesting takes that each and every one of us have in the area of Top 5 Tuesday. So that's going to be an interesting one. If you have an interesting one, again, the top five woulda, coulda, shouldas, those who were supposed to be the next big thing and ended up being just a tremendous, tremendous flop, to say the least. If you have someone that you would like to nominate on your Top 5 Tuesday, you can do so by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-9527. Well, Alex, I tell you what, before we dive into our guest with Jessica Beach Bogracus, I tell you what, yeah. As for those who tune into yesterday's show, you know that after work, after we were done with our doing our thing here at Current Sports, we decided to go out and celebrate a coworker of ours, Luke, who has done an outstanding job here at WKR. He will also, kind of like Matt, you know, Matt Lucky, who was our production assistant here at Current Sports. Luke will be going to LA to pursue his broadcasting dreams now, and we decided to go out and celebrate his last outing by going out and hitting 18 holes on the golf course down at Eagle Eye Golf Course, which is, in my opinion, the most beautiful, beautiful golf course I've ever golfed on. It's a 4-star course. Shout out to Terry Kilday, who is the owner of Hawk Hollow Properties, and Eagle Eye, who hooked that up for us. And, you know, it was a great time being out there and, you know, celebrating our time with Luke. But, you know, Alex and I, we were paired up with each other yesterday. And we decided, you know, how about we put something on the line? Now, we played the front nine, which went relatively okay. I didn't play my greatest outing on the front nine. You know, it's an average outing. I had a shank or two here and there, just trying to get warmed up. I always say the front nine is where I get warmed up. The back nine is where Al Woods comes out and is birthed. So, Alex, this is his idea. I didn't even provoke this. You know, we're just riding the cart on our way to the back nine, and Alex decides, hey, Al, why don't we put something on the line here? And I'm like, okay, well, there you go. Now my ears go up because I'm a competitive guy. And you know, like I always said, if I'm playing my grandmother in Goldfish, I'm not just trying to beat grandma. I'm trying to stomp on grandma. I am trying to beat anyone. I'm trying to crush whoever I'm playing. So I said, all right, game time. I got to get laser focused here. Alex says whoever wins the back nine has to buy lunch for that day, or dinner, as it were, because we didn't finish until like 8:30 p.m. that night, or 8 o'clock that night. So we're like, all right, whoever loses has to buy lunch. So we go out there, and Alex, I'll let you tell the viewers or listeners what happened.
Yeah, Al just played well and played a lot better than what he did on the front nine. Kind of unexpected. He was flopping all front nine, and then, you know, when it came to something on the line, he came through in the clutch. He ended up winning by about 7 or 8 strokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have been about 5 or 4. But
yeah, you had some moments. You definitely had some moments there, Alex, where you had me nervous because on the, I believe, the 11th hole, you had actually taken the lead due to a mental blunder on my part where I just missed an easy putt, and I just scratched my head like, you got to be kidding me. And you had the lead, you know, going to the 12th, and I'm like, okay, I got to get on my game, and, you know.
Well, we actually were tied going into the 14th.
Yeah.
And then you took two big holes.
Exactly.
And got a huge lead.
It was a fun time, man. It kind of, you know, because I haven't golfed, you know, prior to that in about, you know, a few weeks. And it kind of, you know, just reverberated the golf juices again. I may go out this weekend again, man, before the weather starts to get ucky.
We'll have to get some more golf tips on current sports.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. Because you need them, brother. No, I'm just jokes. All right, folks. Well, in just a moment, we're going to be talking with Jessica Beach Bogracus, who will be inducted into the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. And, you know, it's a cool event because we've had Bob Every on the show, who is the chairman of the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. And Bob, you know, he's done such a great job in making the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame arguably, you know, one of the best sports hall of fames in the entire state of Michigan. I mean, if you haven't been down there to the Lansing Center and got a chance to walk around the first floor of the Lansing Center where the Hall of Fame is located and seen just the jerseys hanging up in the baseball mitts and the baseballs and the footballs and just the names that have come, you know, in this area and have produced such great athletics. I mean, it's truly unbelievable. Your jaw will be on the floor as you walk down the hallways of the Lansing Center and look up at those countless jerseys and pieces of memorabilia commemorating those who have graced the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. And this Thursday is going to be a special day because the class of 2014 will be inducted into that very shrine. And one of those inductees is Jessica Beach Bogracus, folks. Now, she is a 2000 graduate of Okemos High School. She was an all-state performer in volleyball, basketball, and yes, this was her sport, folks, softball. In 2000, she led the Chiefs to their first MHSAA Division I State Softball Championship and was honored with the State of Michigan's Miss Softball Award. She is currently in her seventh year as an assistant coach with the MSU softball team and will be inducted again into the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame this Thursday. Jessica Beach Bogracus, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Jessica?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Very, very well. First of all, on the behalf of everybody here at WKAR's Current Sports, we want to extend you a big congratulations. This is such an honor for you.
Yes, I am certainly flattered, humbled, honored. I mean, there's not enough adjectives to describe. I mean, I'm just blown away. I think about all the people you were just talking about who have all that memorabilia and all those legendary names that are in the Greater Area Lansing Hall of Fame, and it's hard to think that your little old name is worthy of hanging up alongside some of those people. So I'm certainly flattered. I can't say it enough.
Well, I tell you what, Jessica, your name certainly deserves to be up there with those unbelievable recipients who have graced the Hall of Fame year in and year out. And I got to ask you, Jessica, because I'm so intrigued. Anytime we have, you know, the newest class that are going to be inducted into the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. I remember last summer when we had a few of the inductees on the show, and I always have fun asking this question on just how did you receive the news that you were going to be inducted?
Well, Bob, the chairman, Bob Every, he called me a few months back, and it was as simple as that. He said he just wanted to congratulate me on being chosen and inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Hall of Fame. And I think it took me a few minutes to respond. There was certainly a great sense of shock and disbelief. It was pretty special. I mean, it's just special. You don't really plan on receiving a phone call like that. So it took me a minute. And again, I was just overwhelmed with gratitude. I couldn't thank him enough.
Right.
So it was a pretty cool phone call. A memorable one.
Yeah, without a doubt, I'm sure. And Jessica, now you played three sports back in high school, volleyball, basketball, and softball, as I just alluded to in the intro. What was it about softball that really took to your liking, allowing you to be pretty dominant while at Okemos?
You know, even through high school, I played a little bit of AAU basketball, you know, along with the high school season. But I played softball all summer. And I think I just was the most exposed to, universities, you know, big opportunities to play beyond high school with the sport of softball. And I think deep down it was always my favorite, although I certainly loved having the diversity of playing a different sport every high school season. I was really grateful I did that, but deep down, softball was kind of, it was always my favorite.
Without a doubt. Now, if you look at your high school career, you finished your high school career with a then state record of 57 consecutive victories and an ERA of 0.57. You are also listed in the MHSAA state record book a total of 12 times, 5 times in pitching categories and 7 times in hitting categories. What goes through your head when you hear those stats?
What goes through my head is, the glory days, I guess, you know?
Right.
it's still kind of, it blows my mind a little bit. It seems so long ago. And there have been a lot of really great softball players that have come out of the state of Michigan before and even after me. So to know that, you know, my name is still in there a handful of times, it's a great sense of pride and accomplishment. I feel, you know, really, really pretty proud of that.
Jessica, who do you accredit to teaching you the game of softball and really developing your game over time?
Oh, gosh. Initially, I think to my high school coach, Dan Stoltz. He was and still is one of the greatest high school coaches I think the state of Michigan has ever had. Golf, basketball,
right,
softball, or otherwise, he's coached a broad spectrum of sports. But what I really admired about him and what I loved about him was he was an amazing athlete himself, and I always just remember kind of studying his approach as an athlete. He was one of those athletes that just had a kind of that calm, demanding, confident presence. And
right,
I remember trying to emulate that. You didn't have to see him shoot a basketball to know how good he was. And I remember wanting to have my opponents feel that about me. So I think what he instilled in me most was just how to be confident and how to be competitive always. And then moving on to my college career, playing for Jackie Joseph, I met her when I was 11 years old, coming to the Michigan State softball camps and then going on to play my collegiate career for her.
Yeah.
I've known her for over 20 years, and there's a lot of lessons that I've learned from her that, you know, we're rooted in the sport of softball, but it's certainly transcended into my life as a mother, as a wife, as a coach. A lot of lessons that I've learned from her, and I certainly credit her with. Without either of those two people, I certainly wouldn't be, you know, attending this event on Thursday as an inductee. But also my parents. I had one of the best support systems, I think. I mean, they made it all possible. They invested their time, their money to gallivant me across the United States to play in different softball tournaments. And, you know, they went out of their way above and beyond to give me the opportunity to pursue my dream of playing a collegiate sport, you know, at the highest level, Division I, you know, softball, Big Ten University. I certainly wouldn't have, you know, been afforded the successes and the opportunities without them.
Yeah, that is so important.
Yes, it's so important. You know, they're blue collar. My dad is a GM guy. My mom is a blue collar worker for Consumers Energy. We didn't have a ton of money, but they saved up and made sure it was possible for me to pursue some of those opportunities. And like I said, without them, I'm not here on this Thursday's event.
Yes, and you know, Jessica, you bringing up, of course, Dan Stoltz and Jackie Joseph, who are both staple names here in the community, and you talk
Absolutely.
About your parents, and you, of course, being an assistant coach for the MSU softball team now for 7 years, and over time, you working with the amount of girls you've worked with over your tenure here at MSU, I'm certain that you've come into contact with girls who just don't have that type of support from their parents, and you being a coach, you know, putting on that coach's hat, how do you try to combat that to get the most out of them as far as the support area goes for the kids
Sure.
you've worked with over time?
Sure. They all come from different backgrounds, like you said, and I think about one of our players we had in the last 5 or 6 years who came from a family who didn't have a lot of the funds to bring her to college, but she was a kid who was just determined. She did everything she could to raise money for herself to go on these trips. So I just think it's so important that they understand how important and how awesome of an opportunity it is to be able to go on to play collegiate ball, whether it's softball, whether it's basketball, any, you know, any sport. It's
right.
You know, those kids who come from less, they tend to be the most grateful to, you know, for the opportunity, for the gear, the Nike gear they receive. You know, they're over the moon grateful for what, you know, this University of Michigan State gives them. So, you know, it's all relative. Like I said, they all come from different backgrounds, but, you know, the ones that come from less, they're always the kids that you love to see succeed the most.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we're talking with Jessica Beachball Gracchus, who will be inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame this Thursday. Jessica, you know, now, again, you know, sticking with that coaching realm, you know, now being an assistant coach for the MSU softball team, what was the biggest adjustment for you when you first started, you know, as an assistant coach under Jackie? What was the biggest adjustment for you in the coaching realm when it came to sort of separating the player from the coach?
Oh, my gosh. that's funny you say that, because it was difficult for me. When my first couple of years, I just wanted to say, just give me the ball, I'll do it. You know,
right,
you
right.
know, if one of my players was struggling to understand what we were trying to do, or just having a bad day at the plate or on the mound in general, I can't just take the ball and do it myself. I don't have, it's not, you know, in my control like that. So that was a hard transition. So the biggest challenge is learning how to motivate, you know, these players, each individual player differently.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that was one of the biggest, you know, transitions. Difficulties, and also going from playing for Jackie to coaching alongside her as, you know, a coworker, it was a little bit harder for me at first to, you know, speak up to her, you know, to have like a coaching conversation where maybe I questioned, maybe coach, I think we should do it this way, you know, whereas a player, I just said, yes, coach, you know, however you want me to do it, you know, as a coworker, sometimes you can debate a little bit more, and that was a little bit difficult for me at first too.
Right, right.
But I've certainly been able to, you know, learn how to go into her office now and tell her what I think.
Right, and I'm sure that relationship has certainly grown into a great one over time. Now, Jessica, looking at your time, you know, playing, going, you know, rewinding time for a second, what do you have a favorite memory that really stands out in your head while, you know, being a player?
Sure, gosh, I've got a couple. I would say, in high school, it was, you know, winning a state championship, the first state championship Okemos had won, and I distinctly remember how we won the game. We had gone into extra innings. We had a runner at third base, and I was up to bat, and they walked me. So I ended up at first base, with a run, and there was also a runner at third.
Yeah.
In the very next pitch, Jennison's pitcher threw a wild pitch, and our base runner at third base scored. And I made a beeline straight from my leadoff at first base, straight into Coach Stoltz's arms. And I think it was the huge front page sports picture in the Lansing State Journal of Coach Stoltz and I just in this huge embrace. And I'll never forget that.
Wow.
You know, it was awesome. It really is. I still have it framed in on my wall in my house. So that's definitely one of my biggest memories. And then at Michigan State, we won the Big Ten tournament championship my senior year. And that was huge too, because Michigan State, we hadn't won a Big Ten championship up to that point. So, you know, you always remember the championships. And I always remember, I just remember the hugs and the emotion and the embrace afterwards with teammates and with coaches. That stuff just really, those feelings and those moments stay with you. So,
Yeah.
Championships. I mean, it's hard to forget about championships. So,
right.
Those are definitely two of my most prized memories from my athletic career.
Oh, boy, incredible stuff. Again, Jessica Beachbowl-Grack is, again, she will be inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame this Thursday. Jessica, do you have a speech prepared?
Yes, I do. I've been working on it. They told us we have a five-minute limit, so
right.
I've
have you been timing yourself?
I mean, honestly, I have a little bit, just to make sure I'm not going over too much, because
right.
there's a lot I want to say. There's a lot of people I want to thank. It's just I can't stress it enough. Like, you don't get to a point like this. You don't get to a podium like this on Thursday without the people around you. And so there's a lot of people I want to thank, and I really feel that their impact on my softball career is what's gotten me to this point. So I've got
right.
my 5 minutes, and I'm just really trying to please everybody in the best I can. So.
Jessica, you know, when people who are attending the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame this Thursday, I mean, when they hear you on that podium and hear your speech, I mean, what do you want them to take away from your induction ceremony?
You know, just I think kind of just that I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to play softball, and that I've had the opportunity to be an athlete in the Greater Lansing area. There's a reason that I was born and raised in the Lansing area. I've lived here my whole life, and I haven't left.
Mm-hmm.
I love it here. I love my family. Grew up bleeding green, and we still do. So I love Michigan State. I'm just really grateful to have, you know, been born and raised here in this great area. And, you know, I just had a lot of really great people around me who got me to where I am. And I'm just beyond grateful and flattered and honored. I really am.
Now, Jessica, you know, looking at this class that you are also going to be enshrined with, you know, just to name a few, I mean, there are some credible inductees here, such
yes.
as Jerry West, the 1980
yep.
Lansing Eastern Boys Basketball Team, the 1995 Lansing
yep.
Catholic Central Girls Basketball
yep.
Team, Charles Gorman Jr., excuse
yep.
me. Have you gotten a chance to meet any of the other inductees?
I played against Jody Every
mm-hmm.
Parker, so I know her, but I've read up on some of these other inductees' accomplishments, and I'm just beyond excited to hear their stories, to hear more about their successes and how they, you know, got to where they were. And I think it's just so incredible to what people, you know, have accomplished in their lifetime through sport. I think it's just incredible. So, like I said, I'm pumped to hear, you know, about their you know, experiences and what got them to those successes as athletes. This coming Thursday, I'm really excited to meet them all and to hear their stories.
And you talk about playing against Jody Parker. I mean, did you give her a call when you got the news and you heard that she was going to be inducted as well?
And I haven't had a chance to talk to her yet, but I do
right.
think we remember some pretty good at-bats against her. She was good.
Yeah.
It was tough to get out, and I'm not sure I got her out all that often, but it'll be fun. It'll definitely be fun to reminisce with her in a couple of days.
All right, Jessica, before I let you go, of course, I have to mention the man behind the woman, I guess you would say, Timbo Grackus. He's certainly a friend here on Current Sports. He's been on the radio show, been on the TV
yeah.
show as well. How supportive has Tim been throughout this entire process, and what was his reaction when he heard the news?
Oh, he was so proud. It was really pretty cool. He his support for me and being the spouse of a coach at a Big Ten school is not easy, and he's been so supportive. He knows what I need if I come home after a particularly bad game or bad practice.
Mm-hmm.
He understands. I mean, he went through a pretty big time athletic career himself. So
right.
He knows when to give me a hug, and he knows when to hold me accountable if I'm, you know, making an excuse or whatever whatever I'm going through. He's very supportive, and he's very understanding. So he's been great. He's really proud. It makes me happy to have made him proud. I think it's funny because he got to play for the best basketball coach in the country. And sometimes,
right.
you know, people kind of give him crap, like he's the lesser athlete of our family. And
I meant to ask about that. That was my next question. Who's the better athlete, and what's it like
well,
in the family?
Oh, my gosh. We certainly feed each other's healthy, competitive spirits, whether it's just, it's funny. We'll have a rock throwing contest to see who can hit the tree trunk across the yard first.
Right.
You know, or heated ping pong battles or whatever. we're pretty it's pretty competitive in our whole household, but I think it's great. We push each other to do bigger and better things, and we support each other through whatever, you know, career choices and paths we choose to take. I think we just have something pretty special. I'm really grateful to have him as one of my teammates, if you will. The best teammate I've had, I guess.
Oh, that's so sweet. That is warm. Yeah. That's a good way to end an interview right there, Jessica. Well, there you have
it. His head's going to be pretty big hearing me say all that.
I'm sure, right? All right. Well, there you have it. She will be inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame this Thursday. Jessica Beachbograkis, congrats, and thanks for joining me on today's show, Jessica.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Oh, that's great stuff. All right, Alex, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we have a ton to talk about. Big Ten Media Days, the Lions tabling the Sioux Talks, and Top 5 Tuesday. That graces your ears in just a sec. Do not touch that dial. Ooh, girl, you're shining like a Fifth Avenue diamond. And they don't make you like they used to. You're never going out. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Oh, that was a great, great chat with Jessica Beachbograkis, who is one of the greatest soccer players this area has ever seen. She will be inducted into the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame this Thursday. Current Sports will be there to cover it. You don't want to miss our coverage on that. And, you know, throughout the week, we have, you know, a few outstanding guests who will also join us on the show. You know, I'm really excited because, you know, when you talk about, you know, the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame, I remember when I was I first got the job here at WKAR, and Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Sports Hall of Fame here in Lansing, you know, I gave him a ring and he was so gracious. And, you know, he said, hey, Al, come on out to the Lansing Center and I'll show you around and show you, you know, some of the greats who have come across this area. And I'll show you the jerseys and memorabilia we have up. And I remember going down there. We did a radio piece on it. And I was just flabbergasted just how many outstanding athletes this area has produced. It's really, really just inspiring if you ever took a walk down there and looked at everything and looked at the countless jerseys and names that hang up, you know, on the walls there. And, you know, it just really puts in perspective just how great of an area that that Lansing and mid-Michigan is when it comes to sports. I mean, it is truly remarkable stuff, and I look forward to going out there on Thursday to witness that induction ceremony. So should be a great, great time. All right, Alex, well, we have about 20 minutes left in the show. Let's dive into a few interesting areas. Of course, probably the biggest sporting news concerning us right here in Lansing has to be Big Ten Media Days, which is taking place as we speak in Chicago. Day one was yesterday. Day two is certainly going on right now. A few takeaways from it. It was some interesting storylines, including Curtis Drummond, Michigan State senior free safety, who was did you get a chance to check out the picture, Alex?
I didn't catch it, but
you got to check it out.
About it, yeah.
I'm going to put it on our Current Sports Facebook page. Curtis Drummond was looking pretty fly. You know, it was interesting because ESPN was also there for day one of Big Ten Media Days, and they saw that Drummond is a pretty snappy dresser. And again, Drummond, he showed up in a pinstripe suit, black and white wingtip shoes, and you know, Shalique Calhoun, again, he grabbed the mic and decided to put on a funny interview with him and Curtis. And, you know, Curtis said, you know, I knew I was coming down here with great guys like Shalique Calhoun and Connor Cook, so I needed to get noticed somehow. So that was his reasoning behind wearing that suit. But other than that fun antic right there, I mean, there were a few interesting headlines. It looks as though, of course, last year where you had the whole the slogan, the really catchy slogan for Michigan State's football team, you are the ones, we will be the ones, and so on and so forth. And, you know, everything coming to fruition with the number 7, D'Antonio used that a lot to motivate his players. I was wondering, I remember sitting down with D'Antonio earlier before the summer kicked off, and I sat down with Coach D'Antonio and I asked him if he had come up with a mantra for the 2014-15 football season. And, you know, at the time he said, no, I haven't really thought anything. But it looks as though he's found one, Alex. And the slogan for this year is going to be, simply put, it starts here. It starts here. I like that. What do you think of that?
I think it's great. I mean, it starts here mainly because it starts here with a successful year, probably bigger expectations than many expected. The legacy of Michigan State football starts here, is what I take out of it.
I like that a lot. I really think it's snazzy. It's really simple, and it kind of alludes to that chip on the shoulder that D'Antonio always talks about, that really the Michigan State Athletics thrives on. The Michigan State Athletics is successful because they play with that chip on their shoulder. And, you know, that's something that was definitely talked about when it came to, you know, of course, Shalee Calhoun, you know, Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year. He talked about that. And, you know, of course, and really coming from the quarterback, Connor Cook, he had an interesting rant on, of course, the rivalry that Michigan State shares with Michigan. And, you know, he talked about how he still doesn't feel as though that Michigan State gets the respect that they deserve, I guess. And he even brought up the little brother comments and how he talks about how that still fuels them to this day. I like the mentality that they are approaching this season with, because, again, that's how Michigan State has been successful. That's how this program has reached the mountaintop, if you will, of reaching a Rose Bowl championship win. It's by playing with the attitude that, hey, this team and this nation doesn't respect us.
But that's the thing, Al, is as much as they say that the rest of the country doesn't respect them or the Big Ten, I mean, look at what some of the comments came out of from Ohio State. I mean, you saw Urban Meyer talking about the one rival, you know, and that being Michigan. So
right. That's more fuel to the fire.
And that adds more. Yeah, exactly. So at the same time, they are kind of calling for it, because you have the last Big Ten championship being Michigan State. You lose to Michigan State. And although that they haven't been playing a lot of rivalry games and the games haven't been close over the years, it's still the team that's winning. So
right.
As much as rivalries will be rivalries and Michigan State football, we'll talk about how they have the chip on the shoulder and their respect isn't there. Rivalries still go back a long way. And the reason there are rivalries is, I mean, let's look at professional sports. I mean, you see rivalries between teams because of fans beating up other fans, and you've seen all the Ohio State and Michigan stories. You don't really see too much between Michigan State and Ohio State. So
right,
I kind of
right.
feel Urban Meyer on that one.
Yeah.
But if you're Michigan State, on the other hand, you're seeing that they are the repeating champions, the repeating champions of the Big Ten. You would like a little bit more respect. We're going to come and get Michigan State as the headhunter. And you didn't really see too much of that.
Exactly. You know, it's and still, you know, adding to that whole notion of, you know, playing with the chip on their shoulder, it looks as though many of the writers, national writers, have chosen Ohio State to win the Big Ten. So that just adds, you know, again, more ignition to this whole flame. And it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. Some other headlines that I saw coming out of Big Ten Media Days yesterday happened to be that reserve quarterback Damian Terry, he's not 100%. Terry, of course, who suffered a torn labrum in the spring game and underwent surgery, won't likely be cleared for contact at the start of fall drills. So we'll see how that pans out as far as his progression is concerned. Also, Demetrius Cox could get a look at that corner position. That's interesting. D'Antonio said, quote, "We'll see where he plays. I think he has the foot skills to play outside. I think he's got great ball skills, just needs experience and should get that this year. He'll probably be the fifth guy right now, maybe the fourth." So we'll see how that pans out. And also, the linebacker corps are still unsettled right now, Alex. Now, D'Antonio did indicate that Tywan Jones is a starting linebacker as we speak, but he's not ready to declare him the starter at middle linebacker, naming three other players who might also get a look at that position. So we'll see how all those pan out. Of course, Cook is the guy right now, so I don't know how big that Damian Terry story is. I'm interested to see how much playing time Damian Terry gets, if at all. We've seen, of course, in the spring game, and of course, I remember going back to that whole quarterback competition, if you will, between Terry and Cook and so on and so forth, and Tyler O'Connor, between those three on who will get the starting QB position. And Terry really turned some heads with one of the practices. And we know that Terry can run the ball, but we don't know if he can throw. That's the thing with Terry. So we'll see how big of a story that becomes.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how now Shalee Calhoun, who again, Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year, how his dominance transcends, and if he can be consistent with that dominance this upcoming year. Of course, we had him on Current Sports TV, and you know, it, again, it was one of the best interviews I've ever done with a college athlete. I mean, he's so likable. He's such a great kid, and you know, he's definitely he's worked on his game in the offseason tremendously, and I'm interested to see how that progression, now transcends to his could be final year.
Totally, and right behind him, I mean, you've got Lawrence Thomas on the other side. Even behind Shalik Calhoun, you have Demetrius Cooper, who's been getting a lot of praise. So it looks like they have a very strong up front. I know on the nose tackle side, Brandon Clemens getting a little bit more of a nod. He's probably more of a smaller nose tackle than what they're used to compared to, you know, what we saw with Mekaji Reynolds and some past ones. So and Jarrell Worthy. So that's going to be a little bit different. But the big thing for me, Al, that we really haven't talked about, I mean, you brushed up on Damian Terry, Tyler O'Connor, of course, listed as number two. But the depth chart's out. And the receivers get a little bit of a matchup. I mean, Matt Garrett Kings is a little bit lower than what people projected on there, too.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot going on with the receivers right now.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, when you lose a guy, of course, like, you know, a guy who, you know, looking at last year, that receiving core got a lot of criticism, including me, because, you know, I was looking at that receiving core and looking at the amount of drops they had at the beginning of the season. I'm sitting there looking like, oh, my goodness, this has to change if this team wants to be competitive as the season rolls on. Then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but that receiving core just turned up, folks. I mean, Benny Fowler, specifically, because I remember, you know, talking to Benny at the beginning of the year, and he really seemed down, and he was really, really just kind of closed in a shell when it came to the media, because he read the criticism that he got from many folks. He probably, you know, listened to a lot of talk sports radio and heard a lot of the criticism that, you know, many people throughout the area, fans alike, gave on Benny and that receiving core on just how many drops, you know, drop after drop that this team had at the beginning of the year. And then something clicked, and all of a sudden, Benny Fowler just, he looked like a totally new man, like a totally new person. And, of course, now Benny is now taking his talents to the NFL with the Denver Broncos. It was really, really remarkable to see how they really turned things around. So we'll see. I think the guy, you know, one of the big guys I think you just alluded to, Alex, is McGarrett Kings. He is really, really a player who I've seen him, you know, year after year after year, just kind of mature and just get better. So that's definitely an area that I'm going to be definitely harping on and seeing how that progresses as the season rolls on. Again, I can't believe it's about to be August. Friday is August 1st, folks. Can you smell the pigskin in the air? Yes, college football and just football in general is right around the corner. There will be preseason NFL games starting very, very soon. But again, Big Ten Media Day is taking place right now in Chicago. So those were a few of your headliners, if you will, from day one of Big Ten Media Days. Day two going on, of course, right now. All right, of course, Alex, as you just alluded to in our quick hit headliners at the top of the hour, the Lions have made an interesting move, a very smart move, in my opinion, to table the contract negotiation talks with Ndamukong Suh. Really interesting stuff there. When I first heard it, I said that was a brilliant move because now the Lions don't have to deal with that distraction in training camp. When you talk about having a new coach, this is a new Lions era where, you know, a new guy like Jim Caldwell comes in. He's trying to implement his new system and trying to get a feel for this team in his first year. You want to limit as much distractions as possible.
Right.
The Lions tabling this discussion was really the ideal move to make to just silence it all.
Yeah, and the point of it also was the comment was made that they would try to put the franchise tag on him.
Right.
So they're not just putting it off, but they're honestly being open to the idea of the franchise tag, which is a big thing because having the franchise tag, if they went out and said, yeah, we're not going to decide on it, and we still don't know about the franchise tag, that connotates the idea that they're just going to completely let Sue go. They can't afford him. They're going to go in a different direction.
Right.
But the fact that they made a statement saying, we are interested in potentially putting the tag on after next year, it shows that they're going to do whatever it takes to keep him there.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's purely distraction bait. There's no decision that putting it off this long means they're not interested at all. It's just a distraction thing. And like you said, it makes the most sense from a head coaching standpoint.
It's brilliant. It was a brilliant move. And, you know, with the franchise tag, you know, again, if they do enact it, you know, because you saw what GM Martin Mayhew said in our headliners. He said that, hey, we're interested in exploring that option. It will allow, you know, putting the franchise tag on Sue will allow Sue to stay around at least for another year after this year. And it kind of puts Sue in a bind where he says, okay, well, maybe I need to decide, you know, make a decision here and sign long-term with the Lions. Especially, and this is a big year now, because especially if the Lions have great success this season, and let's say they go deep in the playoffs, oh, I think that, you know, that piques Sue's interest immensely on staying with this team. So I think the success of this squad this season is also really going to be very, very important when it comes to Sue wanting to re-sign with the Detroit Lions. So we'll see how that pans out as well. All right, 10 minutes left, Alex. Let's hit the second break. When we come back, Top 5 Tuesday, folks, the top 5 woulda, coulda, shouldas in sports history. We'll explain. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We are now going to dive into our Top 5 Tuesday segment. Today's Top 5 Tuesday deals with those who, came out of the college ranks and decided to, make that leap to the pros and had all of this hoopla surrounded around them and were supposed to be the next big thing, the next great one, if you will. But as their careers rolled on, everybody, including themselves, find out that they were just big flops and all the hype was for nothing. The top 5 woulda, coulda, shouldas in sports history. All right, folks, again, the top 5 woulda, coulda, shouldas in sports history. We're going to make this kind of quick, Alex. We got 8 minutes left.
Yep.
We'll go back and forth with this one in no particular order here.
Okay.
In no particular order, I am going to start with Lawrence Phillips. Does that name ring a bell at all?
That's so funny. That's my number 5, actually.
Get out of here. Yeah. Really? I'm going to start with Lawrence Phillips. I guess I can kind of get a rundown for both of us then, right?
Right.
Lawrence Phillips is a former professional American football and Canadian running back. And after his career in football in December of 2009, Lawrence Phillips was sentenced to a total of 31 years in a California prison for attacking his former girlfriend and for assault when driving his car into 3 teenagers in 2005. Sad, sad stuff. But, you know, looking at his career, he went to Nebraska. He was drafted in the 1996 NFL draft. Round 1, he was pick 6. He was supposed to be the next big thing. And if you remember in college, of course, he went to Nebraska in the Big Ten. If you remember, during Phillips' junior year, Alex, Phillips became an early front runner for the Heisman Trophy in his second game of the season against who? Michigan State, of all people, MSU. Mm-hmm. Phillips had 206 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns on 22 carries. After only 2 games, he was averaging more than 11 yards per carry and had scored 6 TDs. Of course, as his career went on, he had numerous off-the-field issues, Alex. Numerous, as you just said. I mean, 31 years in prison.
Yeah, and just to start, my shoulda, woulda, couldas were guys that were proven to be good, but just had off-the-field stuff or something going on.
So all your guys had off-the-field issues?
Off-the-field. Most of them had off-the-field issues.
Gotcha.
Yes.
And, well, Lawrence
because
is the
epitome. Because I feel like if you say shoulda, woulda, coulda, it's like you had the talent, was there. I mean, this isn't like a Darko
where Darko's
just not good. He comes over and he's just not that good.
These are
all guys that actually have talent. They proved it in college and just didn't pan out. So my number 4, Al, is Maurice Clarett. I mean, this guy jumped off the charts.
Right.
This guy was Heisman talk all the time. Top draft pick. He was going to be the most explosive running back. People were comparing him to some of the greats, the Emmitt Smiths of the world. I mean, he had the great number behind him, too. So Maurice Clarett getting arrested with all the stuff at Ohio State. He was my number 4. One of the most recent memory guys. But when you hear that name, everyone remembers Clarett.
Yeah, so. Without a doubt, everybody remembers Maurice Clarett. I believe he's coaching right now, right? He is coach.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where.
I forget where, too. It always eludes me, but yeah, it's a small scoop. All right. All right. For number 4 for me, I have to go with Brian Bosworth. Alex, I'm going with Brian Bosworth, nicknamed the Boz. He's a former Seattle Seahawks NFL football linebacker and current Hollywood film actor. He played in the NFL for 3 seasons during the 1980s. He played college football for the University of Oklahoma and was a 2-time consensus All-American. He was also made famous by his flamboyant personality, controversial comments about the NCAA, radical haircuts and risky Hollywood stunts. He was an outstanding player at Oklahoma. It was interesting, though, a funny story about Bosworth, Alex. Prior to his entry to the NFL supplemental draft, Bosworth had sent letters to various NFL teams stating that if they drafted him, he wouldn't report to their training camp and he wouldn't play for them. Now, as a joke, the Tacoma Stars of the Major League Indoor Soccer League, they selected him in the 12th round in the 1987 draft, and as their GM stated, quote, because we didn't receive a letter from him that he wouldn't play for us. So he's just very controversial off the field, if you will. He let his mouth get into a lot of trouble. I remember when he got into it with John Elway back in the day. Oh, man, just a controversial figure who was supposed to be pretty big also coming out of college.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Yeah. Mine, number three now, was Jamarcus Russell from LSU.
Wow.
And the reason I say that is because, I mean, for a guy that in college out, you know, with a national championship appearance and being, after seeing all the recent dual threat quarterbacks that are bigger framed, I mean, we saw recently before him, we saw Dante Culpepper make a big mark and McNabb, big guys that can run.
Right.
And this guy was supposed to set the new trend because this guy wasn't Dante Culpepper's size of like 6'4". This was a 6'6 quarterback that had jets and had power and had an arm and could throw anything. So
I like that.
Finishing off, though, it's only 62.5 QB rating, 52% completion percentage, and battling controlled substance charges off the field. This guy completely did not pan out under the Al Davis era at Oakland and put the franchise back for years. And they were so set that this guy was going to be the savior. What a big physical tool at for a QB, and just didn't pan out.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. All right, I'm going to go with the XFL. Do you remember the XFL?
Yeah,
the XFL.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of went different here. The XFL was supposed to be like the next, it was supposed to rival the NFL, okay? It was put together by World Wrestling Federation owner at the time, Vince McMahon. It was called the WWF, then it's called the WWE now, of course. And the XFL was intended, again, to be a major professional sports league competing with the NFL, but was unable to find an audience and cease operation after its debut season in 2001. Oh, rest in peace to the XFL. It did not last long, Alex.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I had to think. I thought outside the box.
Yeah, that's good. My number three, all players here, Matt Bush. If you don't remember that one, he was in the news back years ago.
Yeah.
He was the number one draft pick for the San Diego Padres back in 2004. He later assaulted a female lacrosse player. He's currently in prison. I don't know if you heard about that. This guy, hometown kid, big prospect, one of the bigger prospects that's come out of the major leagues in the last decade, did not pan out, also had some drug issues in prison. He's my number two.
Wow, interesting. All right, my number two is going to have to be the 2002 FIBA World Championship men's basketball team.
Wow, that lost look to, at you, man.
Yeah,
I dug all teams
deep.
And stuff. Wow.
Yeah, I dug deep for this one. You know, if you remember 2002, I mean, this team was supposed to be the next dream team, if you will. And what did they do? Oh, they go and get beat by Argentina, and you know this is in the second preliminary round stage, thus becoming the first team to ever defeat Team USA composed of NBA players. That's the first time that had ever happened. If you remember, just some really talented players in an Argentinian team and knocked USA off.
Yeah, and even after that, I mean, looking at some of the other NBA teams. Look at when Carlos Arroyo in Puerto Rico destroyed that other NBA team
exactly
in that cup. So
yeah.
Definitely some good ones when it comes to the NBA world competitions.
Without a doubt. That was so disappointing.
Yeah. And number one, before I go to number one, I thought about for a second giving Billy Beane the nod, but I have to give it to Len Bias, man.
Len Bias is a good one.
Yeah.
That's a sad story. For me, I'm going with Ryan Leaf. Of course, a former, now retired American football player who was a quarterback in the NFL, and his whole career just went down the tubes. Interesting stuff. So number one for me, Ryan Leaf. Gotta love that. Well, interesting list. Give us yours by going to facebook.com/currentsports. We are unfortunately out of time. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Tuesday. And hey, be easy, people.